and welcome to the media ministry of Daniel Mattiola Ministries. The message you are about to hear was preached by Pastor Ruth Mattiola. Please relax, listen, and enjoy the Word of God, and let it bring light into your life. God bless you.
And I know the key to connect me is to honor. And so I honor you this morning for giving me the opportunity to bring the word. I just want to talk to us this morning. I want to express to you some of my conversations with the Holy Spirit. And I know it will bless you all this morning. Amen. If you have your Bibles, could you turn it to Romans 12 this morning? If you don't have a Bible, raise your hands and one of our wonderful brothers in the house will serve you with a Bible. I've got three other people on this side, Brother Malcolm. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I want us to open our heart and our spirit this morning. God has a word for you. He sure will bless you. Amen. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable act of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I want to read that same Romans 12, 2 to you in the Amplified version of the Bible. Romans 12, 2. It says, do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs, but be transformed, that means changed, by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. In His sight for you. Daddy, I thank you this morning and I give you praise. I thank you, Lord, that all that is in me will reduce, that only you will increase in me. Thank you, Father, because you have anointed me this morning to bring this word of hope, of freedom, of victory, even unto your people. And so I thank you, Father, that I'm anointed to speak the word and they are anointed to receive the word. And all together, Father, we are all anointed for this word to manifest in our lives, in Jesus' mighty name. If you want a title for this message this morning, I simply called it A New Year, A New Mind. I was having one of those times that I will have with the Holy Spirit, because Holy Spirit and I, we have conversations in funny areas. So around November last year, I was just getting excited that, you know, 2010 is coming to an end. And, you know, you get excited. It's going to be another new year. And you're getting ready for everything you want to do in the new year. And I was just having all these thoughts and all these dreams and all this stuff going on in me. And the Holy Ghost quietly stopped me, just as He will quietly speak to many of us. And He said into my heart, He said, Ruth, getting excited about 2011 will be no difference. What you should be getting excited about is to have a new mind. He said to me, we would always have a new year. According to the calendar of the world, there would always become an end of another cycle of 365 days. But that's not the most important thing. Because if another year comes, and I go to that year with the same mind of last year, I'll get the same result I got last year. And how many people want to testify this morning that you want something better this year? This is the month of January. I want something else. You know, some people, we've just been taught to say, you know, there are some things that it's okay to be contented with, you know. Be contented with your house. Don't go looking for a 5-bedroom if you can only afford to pay for 1 room. I understand that level of contentment. You know, if your closet is spilling out like mine, don't go back to Ross. Pray for me. I understand that level of contentment this morning. I understand that contentment. But there are some things that you and I shouldn't be content with. I realize that the mind is a powerful tool. It is so powerful, it determines our very lives. It determines where we end up. It determines what we do. It determines what we get. It determines what we do not get. And bear with me this morning because I'm going to read some of it the way God gave it to me, and I gave it to my husband to read it. God began to speak to me that getting excited about a new year should not be really my focus, but getting a new mind for a new year is what is going to produce my desired result. And I sat down and I looked at 2010 and I analyzed my pattern of thinking in every area of my life. And the things that I was able to achieve, that I set my mind upon and set my focus and put my discipline and my determination in, they were the things that my mind processed correctly. And the things that I struggled with, that I did not do, that I omitted, that I was not flexible about, that I was just so stubborn and stuck with, but I did not get the desired result, were things that my mind did not process correctly. And so I made up in my mind at the end of 2010 that I was coming into 2011 with my head first. If my head can get into 2011, everything else in my life will follow through. You see, our lives as a believer is about the will of God. It's about the plan of God. It's about the ideas of God. It's about the concepts of God. It's about the instructions of God. There is no other concept or idea or reality or plan or will that has the power to give the desired result as much as the power of God, as much as what God wants, the intent of God for our life. He communicates his thoughts through our mind. He communicates his desires through our mind. He communicates his plan for us through our mind. He communicates his promises to us through our mind. How many people are beginning to realize that the mind that you have is bigger and powerful and so much more important than you and I have given it? A new year, a new mind. I want us to know today that our mind is so powerful. It is so powerful and it's such a vital part of us today that where you and I are at today is a result of our mind. Wherever stage you have found your life, the vehicle that carried you to that stage is the vehicle of the mind. Because I came to realize, my brothers and my sisters, that it cannot reside in my mind. Whatever my heart establishes, it what my mind has processed. When the Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, you see, what I'm guarding in my heart was what the mind programmed to go there. So and that's why God said we should guard it, because if the right stuff is programmed in the heart, then you want to guard it with all diligence, don't you? If the right stuff is in there that gives us the desired result all the time, then we want to protect it. Then we don't want nothing else to come and disturb that we have programmed. Our mind, it is so powerful. It's like a magnet. You know, magnets attract objects. And there are some objects that the magnet does not attract because it doesn't have that pulling force. That's the same way our mind is. Our mind is like an object. It picks up some, it drops some. But where I'm going this morning is my question, what is the object our mind is picking up? And what are the objects your mind is dropping? Could it be that the same object our mind is dropping is the very object that our mind needs to grab hold of? The beginning of this year, the word came from Pastor that it's our year of freedom for growth in Christ. That is the plan of God for us this year. That is the decision God has made before the foundations of the world for you and I. That we will experience freedom, incredible growth in Him this year. But how many people know that until that word is grabbed by the magnetic tools in our mind and processed well and line up well, it will just be another word, just be another year. And it's not God's desire for us to keep struggling from one year to the other. Struggle one year to the other. Christians, our package is not to toil and struggle. We are reading the book of Genesis, and I'm sure by now you are all convinced with me that that was never the intention of our Father. It was the mind of Adam. The mind of Adam. The magnet in Adam's mind that should have been picking the right stuff, that dumped the stuff for the wrong things that the mind of Eve had picked up. That brought about mankind having to go through a lot of things we go through today. It was never the plan of God. But I believe with all my heart that this year God is calling His children back to that very beginning. Calling us back to that very place. Calling us back to His original plan for you and I. Calling us back to His original design for you and I. Calling us back so that we can take back those blessings, those promises, those goodness that He already had planned before the mind came in the way. God is demanding a new mind from us today. A new way of seeing. A new way of understanding, a new way of thinking, a new way of acting. I looked at that Romans 12:2, and I looked at the word. The word that spoke to me was the word conform and transform. To conform means to fashion after. And God is telling us that too many of us as children, we are fashioned after the world. You know, as I was meditating this morning, the Lord told me, the Lord said to me, He asked me a question. He said, Ruth, ask my children today and tell my children, first of all, tell them and ask them. You see, the life you and I are living, we are living out of two scripts. Y'all know that in Hollywood, they have scripts to act out stuff. We are living out of two scripts. One script was written by God Almighty. That script brings life and life abundantly. The other script is written by the devil, Satan. And that script steals, kills, and destroys. Those are two mindsets right there. Because what as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Whatever your thought plan is, leads you to the script that your life is living out from. And I came to ask somebody this morning, who is the writer of the script of your life? Whose script are you living out from? You know, on Wednesday, I was sharing a powerful thing with the people in Bible study that the Holy Ghost told me that many of His children, we are trying to live in between two images. You want to live in the Adamic image or the Christ image. You can only live out of one. There is no middle grounds in God. I'm not going to be an Adam from Monday to Friday, curse, swear, sin, do everything, and then come to church on Sunday and live as Jesus Christ resurrected. You have to make up your mind which image are you living from the first Adam or the last Adam? That's why the Bible said in the book of Revelation that God ain't interested in the lukewarm church because it is not possible. It's too much energy, too much pain, too much confusion to try to live out of two images. Can't live out of this image Monday to Friday and then come back and live this image on Sunday and then we run back to this image Monday to Friday and then we run back to this image on Sunday. We gotta pick one image. Are we living from the fallen man or the resurrected Christ? And this morning I want to ask you, the script of your life, who writes that script? Is it the word of God or the word of the world? There is no middle script. And there is no script where they just join a bit of this and a bit of that together. So on Monday, I'm just going to conform 24 hours of the day. So I take 12 hours for the world and I take the other 12 hours for Jesus. It doesn't work like that. What script are we living our life? That word conformity says to fashion after, to pattern after, to live for. I don't want to live for the world. I've been in the world long enough and I've seen all kind of pain, destruction, heartache, problems, sickness, broken life, broken home. I don't need that script anymore. Coming from a broken home, polygamy, I've seen enough of the world. And I have finally concluded for me at the end of 2010, I don't want that script anymore. You know, I was sharing with them on Wednesday, Satan has a way of promising what he can deliver. Tells you, smoke yourself to death. You're going to forget your problem. But he just never told you 10 years down the line, you're going to get cancer of the lung and that's the beginning of another problem. Never fulfills what he promises. Drink yourself till you can't move no more. But he just never told you 15 years down the line, your kidney's going to shut down on you. And that will be another story entirely. He promises what he can never fully deliver. He can never, think about it. He gives you 2 seconds of pleasure and then opens up another eternity of issues just down the road. I would rather suffer as a good soldier of Christ today and let Jesus just clean out everything he needs to clean out than let the devil negotiate me for some kind of 2-minute fix-up. That's why many of us, we need to just, I know the microwave is good, but when it comes to the path of your life, the microwave system can't work for you. When it comes to life, please don't vote for the microwave system. Oh, I'm just going to ignore God. I'm just going to punch it in. And as long as it's hot right now, I need to feel good for this second. So I'm just going to punch it. Oh, make it hot. Come on, come on, come on. And then when it's hot, what about the consequence of that? The word mind in this verse is the word naus. It means our faculty of perceiving, of understanding, of feeling, of judging, and of determining. It can also be described as our capacity for spiritual growth, the higher power of our soul, the faculty of perceiving divine things. And so this morning I quickly came to speak to us that about what God wants. The question God is asking us is, how have you been perceiving? How have you been understanding? How have you been feeling? How have you been judging? How have you been determining and making decisions? We are limited by the mind of the world. Because the words, what the scripture, we are supposed to view life and fall in love with God's philosophy, not the world's philosophy. The world's philosophy brings pain at the end of it. It brings no deliverance, it brings no freedom, it brings pain. Another definition says that the mind is the particular mode of thinking and judging your thoughts, your feelings, and your desires. Purposes and desires. In 2011, I came to tell somebody God is requiring a new mode from you and I. A new mood. As a matter of fact, it is necessary for us to come up in the level of spiritual growth that is expected of us, that will make us effective witness, preparing us to usher back our Lord and Savior. A person that is so carnally minded cannot prepare for the coming back of the Lord Jesus. And how many of us know that Jesus is coming back sooner than we think? We better wake up to that fact. You may think you got 10 years and all we have left is 24 hours. No man know the hour or the time, but the Lord said we must be vigilant, we must be watchful, and we need to prepare. I looked at the word renew. That word is in the Hebrew is I'm trying to be pastor here, help me. Anakinosis. And it means a renovation, a complete change for the better. Somebody's mind this morning needs a remodeling, a renovation, a complete change for the better. A complete change for the better. I looked at the word transform. It means to change to another form. God is asking, telling you and I, that our way of understanding, of perceiving, of judging, of feeling needs to be changed, totally changed to another form. That we cannot expect a different result this year, keeping the same way we perceive, we understand, we feel, we judge. We have to totally have a renovation going on in our minds. The old ways cannot work anymore, and we have to realize this and let it go. You know, sometimes when pastor would tell me, "You're so stubborn," I used to feel so cool. There's nothing cool about being stubborn, especially when you're not stubborn with the word. There's nothing cool about being stubborn. I finally got that revelation. Seriously, it's not a compliment to tell me I'm stubborn, especially when my stubbornness is not in the word, when my stubbornness is not producing me the desired result, when my stubbornness keeping me bound in a particular place and I need to be free from. You are not complimenting me, telling me I am so stubborn. I'm so set in my ways. That ain't no compliment to me. I need to get off foolishness. If I'm set in my ways, can people see that that ways is God's ways? Not my way, but God's ways. Hallelujah. I'm sure we can all look at areas of our lives this morning and truthfully be able to tell which script we've been living out of. Which is the predominant script, the word of God or the negotiations of the enemy? Because I've come to realize, my brothers and my sisters, that Satan is very smart and is very logical. One of the things God showed me as I studied the book of Genesis, and I wanted to know why Eve was so stupid enough to listen to the devil. I realized that the devil is a scoffer. He doesn't totally rule out the word of God. He just presents it as being unlogical. Makes no sense. God is unreasonable. Come on, let me tell you. Can you not see how unreasonable God is? He doesn't really rule it out. He just tells you, oh, no, come on. God is just so unreasonable. He's not in tune with the 21st century. He doesn't know what is cool. He never writes it off. Because devil also knows that God is as powerful as he claims to be. The devil ain't no fool. Because he knows that if he comes to us directly like that, 99% we will be able to defend God. I said, mm-mm. But he comes in a very crafty way. That's why I want to beg people that live a life led by feeling. I got to feel. What are you feeling? You know, one of the things God told me this morning, he said, tell my people, if they're going to walk in what I have for them this year, it's not going to be about their preference. Because many of us, it's about what we prefer. And I looked through the Bible, there was nobody, Pastor Jesus healed, that Jesus went to them and said, Dickin Lapo, how would you prefer to be healed today? What's your preference for healing? Would this be okay by you? I never read it in the Bible that God went and said, oh, Mr. Woman with the issue of blood, how would you prefer that I heal you today? He simply asked them, what do you want? Meaning, whichever way he comes, Lord. Whichever way you want to, just bless me anyway. Whichever way the blessing comes, just bless me anyway. And when we begin to change our mind, we begin to change our preferences. We begin to change our feelings. Because God is bigger than how you and I feel. And for many of us, my brothers and my sisters, I don't know about you, but about me, a lot of things that bothered me in 2010, that aggravated me, that frustrated me, that hurt me, that didn't make me push forward and be flexible enough for God, were the things that I felt. And Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. When you are truly crucified with Christ, it's no longer about how you feel or how you prefer it. Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane and he wanted to put that in. But Jesus quickly woke up and realized, nevertheless, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Nevertheless, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. Our mind this morning. We must honestly assess our mood in 2010, our mode of thinking. We must assess it, identify the patterns that did not bring us into the fullness of God in every area of our lives. Patterns that limited us, that saddened us, that make us make decisions that we ended up with unwanted consequences. Patterns that are not from God, but have been logically and smartly introduced by the enemy. And unfortunately, many times we buy into those patterns. We buy into those patterns. And we must make a decision today to take a new turn. I realized that when God was talking about the parable of the sower, I believe it's Matthew chapter 13, he was talking about the different minds that the world comes into. And I want to encourage us quickly. I don't have the time to go through the whole of that parable. But I want to encourage you as you leave today to go and ask yourself, the Bible said here, he said, some fell. He said, those who hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the wicked one comes. Your mind cannot afford not to have understanding this year. You need to pray for God to give you understanding so that when the word of God comes and the script of the enemy comes, you have enough understanding to say, not today, Satan. Not today. Not today. No, not this year. You have sabotaged me for the last 10 years. But this year, devil, I have enough understanding to know you are a liar. You will remain a liar. You have nothing to offer me that will take me to where I need to go. And so, Satan, go sell it to somebody else down the road. He says the other one, when they receive the seed, on stony places. Those are the preference Christians. Well, it doesn't sound like what I heard 10 years ago where I'm coming from. So that is not my preference of listening to the word. I like the pastor that ain't going to stand up there and not smile like Pastor Ruth. I just need somebody to smile through the word. So because that is not my preference, I ain't got nothing. Well, I went to that church and I'm just going to pick up my bag and leave because they don't know what my preference of church is. It's not about your preference. It's about the will of God. And it's about the plan of God. He said because of this preference, they don't get much. He said because when the word comes, it doesn't take root because you're throwing everything out. It's not your preference. It's not within the conference of what you like, how you like it delivered. Baby, just deliver it anyway. That's where I am. Just, you got something to deliver? Give it to me. Whichever way, as long as it's the word, deliver it anyway. He says some where the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches, day-to-day struggle cannot just let you focus on the promises of God. We just want to have everything the world has to offer. That's not going to be the way for us this year in Jesus' name. He said, but there is one that received on good ground. They were ready for the word. When the word came, they were ready. They were prepared. Their understanding was right. Their perception was right. Their judgment was right. Their desires lined up with the word of God. Their determination lined up. They had decided. He said those bore fruits 30, 60, and 100-fold. And as I thought about that, the Lord said to my children, some of you, your mind is operating on 30, but you need to go on the 60 level this year. Some of you, you're on the 60 level. You need to kick it up to the 100 level because those levels are available in God. Don't sit at the 30 and be comfortable with the 30 when the 60 is staring you in the face and the 100 is available. Take yourself to the next level in the name of Jesus. What does God want to change in our mind? Five things quickly. I got 10 more minutes to wrap this up. Number one, our perception. How we see things. To perceive means to observe, to be aware, to recognize, to grasp, to be conscious. Look at your whole life and think for a minute how you have perceived up till now. How you've perceived instructions, how you've perceived issues, how you've perceived relationships, how you've perceived the word of God, how you've perceived counsel. Think about it for a minute. Have you perceived those things based on your understanding of the world? Or have you perceived those things based on the word of God? You know, many of us, our perception of relationships is so faulty, we need God to help us. Because there's no point letting your people of today suffer for what the people of your yesterday did. Many people came into church and their pastor's wife has irritated them. Please don't come and hate on me because I wasn't your former church pastor's wife. I'm just Pastor Ruth. I'm just here trying to love you, but then you're just coming because the last church, the pastor's wife, and I'm supposed to be getting the brunch from you. Please, baby, this is the new year. Perception of relationship. We always have to be vulnerable, my brothers and sisters. I learned that with pain. No matter how painful you have had relationship, if you're going to live a victorious, joyful, connected life, you're still going to have to open yourself up to new relationships. You're just going to have to. Everybody can be a devil. Everybody can be like the pastor's wife from the last church. Come on, give me a break. At least our skin color is different, so that's one difference you can hold on to. And we have to observe new things about issues, about relationships, about our finances, about our husbands, about our wives, perceiving, understanding, recognizing something different. Our perception. Number two, our understanding. To understand means your insights, your comprehension, your apprehension. Why do we easily comprehend evil but apprehend truth? Why do we easily comprehend evil but apprehend the truth? Think about it. How we come to understand the world comfortably, but we struggle with understanding God as simple and as uncomplex as He is. You're telling people about the Bible. I don't understand. I don't get it. But tell them everything about the world. They get it right there. But we seem to think God is so complex, just can't figure it out, whereas He's the most simple. Number three, our desires. What has been your predominant desires in the last 12 months? Has God or other things of God featured in our daily passionate desires? Have they lined up with His will for you? Have you yearned for God in the last 12 months? Have you craved for Him? Have you ached for Him? Have you aspired for Him? The Bible said in the book of Psalm 42 verse 1, He says, as the deer pants for the water brooks, O Lord, my soul pants after you, my God. What has our desires been in the last 12 months? What have we craved for? Heaven help you, just like me, Christmas, I crave for the pick and pie. Pray for me, I'm trying to get the pounds off. The pick and pie didn't do me no good this Christmas. But what have we craved for? Many of us have favorite food. And many times you don't want to tell us what you have to go through to get your favorite food. How about God? How about His word? What have we done that has been beyond the norm to align our desires with God's desires for us. Number four, our decisions. What decisions have you made or not made in the last 12 months? What are the fruits or the consequences of those decisions? How are your decisions guided? What has guided your decisions? And I'm going to quickly give it to you. It's Proverbs 11:14. Proverbs 11:14 says, where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. How have you taken counsel in the last 12 months? Have you just thought it was, well, what was their opinion? I ain't got time. And the counsel you've been given is directly the word of God. But you would rather have the word of the devil. How have we made decisions? Where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. What about our determinations, our willpower, our persistent tenacity, single-mindedness? What has fueled or not fueled this in our life in 2010? I looked at these 5 points and I realized that the guiding factor is the mind. The heart only receives and flows out what the mind has agreed upon. God is challenging you and I to look today where our minds are. Do we have in our mind His word, the guiding light of our lives? Whose philosophy are we in love with, God's or the world? Every area in your life that you desire a change this year is going to start in the place of your mind. Everywhere you want to see something new this year, my brothers and my sisters, there is no magic to it. Pastor can take the whole bottle of olive oil and pour it over your head. And if you leave here with the same stinking thinking, it's going to be exactly the same thing. And I realize that we have to be intentional about the way we think this year. The devil will always fly. I was sharing with them on Monday that I wrote something a few weeks ago. The thought came to me and I wrote a write-up about it and I sent it to all my friends. And I simply call it, the devil is flying, but my mind is not the resting place. Because the devil will always fly. That is his assignment. He goes to and fro. He never takes a vacation. And so you came out this morning and Pastor laid down and prayed and declared healing over you. But if you leave this door and you let the devil keep negotiating you, oh, you were not healed. Oh, the pastor was having an emotional outburst. Oh, now that wasn't real. Baby, you just left the healing right here. You left it right here. Because you are going to have to walk that word yourself. You're going to have to believe that if His word says it, I believe it, that settles it. The word says it, I believe it, that settles it. Philippians 2 verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Do you have the same mind as Christ Jesus is what I came to ask you this morning. Do you think the way Christ thinks? Do you perceive the way Christ perceives? Do you judge the way Christ judges? Do you desire the way Christ desires? Do you make decisions the way Christ decides? Are you determined as Jesus was determined? Hallelujah. Write this down. Romans 8, 5 to 9. I cannot read everything. I'm rounding this up. Romans 8, 5 to 9. Romans 8, 5 to 9 says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. To always walk your life with the script of the devil only leads one way, death. That is why the Bible said there is a way that seems right to man. It ends in destruction. My brothers and my sisters, this is our year of the extraordinary, our year of the exceedingly, the abundantly, the above. Don't let the devil negotiate you. God has a mansion for you. Don't settle for a studio flat in your mind this year. Pursue with everything in you. Fight the good fight of faith. Wake up every day and announce to the devil, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm not settling anymore. You have messed my mind up for too long. I've lost things, inheritances, blessings. I've lost things because of my mind. No more, Satan. I'm done with you. I'm done with you. If God cannot fill me up, then I'd rather be empty. If God cannot take the pain away, I'd rather hold on to the pain. If God cannot deliver me, I'd rather be captive, Satan. I would rather be a captive for Jesus than a captive for the devil. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is an enemy to God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the spirit. Tell yourself, I'm in the spirit. I'm in the spirit. There ain't no flesh up in here. I'm in the spirit. If indeed the spirit of God dwells in you, you are in the spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Quickly this afternoon, I want to give you 5 ways God is demanding a change of our mind. The change I'm talking about here, my brothers and my sisters, is changing to the Word of God. It's how you take the Word this year. The Word of God is not a suggestion. It's not something for you to contemplate. Well, I'll think about it if that fits how I'm trying to feel right now. The Word of God is the final umpire. The Bible says, as long as the earth and heavens remain, it said, heaven and earth may pass away. Not one tittle of my word will go without being fulfilled. The Word of God is more powerful than your situation, your circumstances, your feelings. The Word of God is bigger than that. That is the only hope you and I have, my brothers and my sisters, is the Word. Is the Word. It's the Word. When Pastor went to a conference this week, when my husband came back, I said, babes, I want to start hearing some heavenly songs in church. God bless you, Rob Diaz, for singing one of those my heavenly songs today. Because my brothers and my sisters, we need to go back to some heavenly songs. Some heavenly songs that corrects our way of thinking. Amen. Some heavenly words that refashions and renovates and rebuilds the Word of God back into our life. One of those songs that I've always loved is the song that says, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word. That's the umpire this year. That through whatever it is, we will trust in Jesus. We will think on Jesus. Number one, our spiritual lives must change this year. The way we view our spirituality, the way we perceive it. Psalm 51 verse 10, some of us need to pray that prayer this morning. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit away from me. God wants a change in our spiritual life. In our emotions this year, God wants a change. Be careful of your emotions. Is the devil working your emotions or the Spirit of the Lord working your emotions? The Lord told me at the end of last year, he said, quit getting too angry. Stop getting too angry. Anger dwells in the bosom of fools, he said. Quit getting quickly irritated. Control these emotions with my word. Every little thing you're fired up. Every little thing you're fired up. Change your mind this year. We must rid ourselves of every negative, unproductive, and unnecessary emotions in 2011. Number three, physically. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. I won't dwell too much on that, because we all have New Year's resolution. I'm still working mine, so I probably will just step away from that. But I got to say what I need to say. Because 1 Corinthians 6 said, we were bought with a price. The body don't belong to you. He said, therefore, glorify God in your body. Baby girl, whatever you put in, you get out. Don't be fooled. Don't go to superiors. Just start with your mind. Because if your mind don't get it, you're just dumping the money at superiors. If your mind don't get it first, give me the money for superiors. I got widows to feed. Because if it's not working up here, you are wasting your time. But we've got to remember this year, I would rather have good health than believe God for healing. Whatever you put in, you get out. And we need to start preaching this in the church. Quit putting junk in, expecting a miracle.
There was no miracle Jesus performed in the whole Bible that lay hands on a fat woman who became thin. Never recorded. Never recorded. Let's keep it real this morning. He's demanding that men, some of us change this year. You could drive through that McDonald's and don't stop. Just keep looking. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I leave them the fried up stuff alone after 7 o'clock. Let the fried stuff be at peace. Let it be at peace this year. Let it be at peace. Number 4, financially. Many of us, our minds have to change when it comes to giving God out of our substance. Luke 6:38 says, give and it will be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together. Whatever you give is what you get back. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, go read it. I can't go there tonight. Number 5, the local church and the body of Christ. Many of us, we need to change our mind about how we relate, how we handle what we do in the local church and in the body of Christ. Don't let it just be something that they are putting in the bulletin every week telling you, he who wins soul is wise. That is the mandate of every child of God who has absorbed the pattern of the word of God correctly. Is to go tell somebody else about Jesus. What part have you played or not played? How will God rate your service? Did you give him your best last year? Did you give him your best? It's all in the mind. And finally tonight, what is the benefit of a new mind? And when I looked at the benefit of a new mind, the story that came to my mind, and Pastor preached it, was the story. How many people know that the prodigal son became prodigal because of his mind? What he chose to take was what made him prodigal. It was how he processed his thoughts. It was what he allowed the devil to negotiate him to. But the Bible said that the end of the story of this young boy, he came back to his senses. Oh, somebody tell yourself, I'm coming back to my senses this morning. I'm coming back to my senses. My senses has gone for too long. I'm coming back to my senses. Because I'm not willing to spend 365 days in confusion, in frustration, in bondage, in captivity, in poverty, in struggle, in lack. I'm coming back to my senses. Because the word of God says that if he's my shepherd, I shall want for nothing. I'm coming back to my senses. John 15:7, as I round up. That's the last scripture I'm going to read for us. John 15:7, the benefit of a new mind. It says, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, then you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. If our mind is the mind processing, believing, understanding, receiving, and acting on the word of God, how many people know that that's our desire has been answered already? Because everything in the word of God is his desire for us. And if we really look at what we want in life, it's filled up in God's word for us. If you abide in me and my word in you, when we have a new mind, we will become a proof, an evidence, a manifestation, and a witness of that good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. What you will experience in God's blessings this year physically will first take place in your mind. You cannot take in new blessings with an old mind. Rise up to your feet this afternoon. We cannot take new blessings with an old mind. I want you to take the next 2 minutes as I hand over this microphone and lay your hands on your head and begin to speak to the Lord. Create in me a new mind this year. Lord, I want a new mind. A new way of thinking, a new way of perceiving, a new way of understanding, a new way of judging, a new way of deciding, of determining everything you have for me. I exchange my old mind today in the name of Jesus.
Continue to pray for yourself. Continue to pray for yourself. Declare over your life in response to the word that you received. In every area of your life where you're believing God for victory, please talk to the Lord today. Tell him exactly what you're believing him for.
I hope you enjoyed this message preached by Pastor Ruth Mattiola. If you would like a copy of this message on audio CD, please contact us at Parism International Christian Center on 541-776-8532 or contact us on the website www.parismchurch.org. God bless you.